Our scripture reading now for the sermon is Luke 2:25. Let's start there. Luke 2:25 through 35. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bond servant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." Pray with me. Our Father, help us now as we take in what you have said to us and what you are saying to us now. Help us to see the reality of your word and how it impacts our hearts, how it impacts our lives, that you would be most glorified as we respond to you in love, as we respond to you in faithfulness. Help us now, Lord, to know you better, to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge, that you will be glorified by your people. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come into this setting where Mary and Joseph are with Jesus. They had walked to the temple, and as they traveled there and as they looked around, there was this sign of the oppression that was on them at that point. They would see soldiers on the corner. When Paul spoke of the helmet of salvation, when he spoke of the breastplate, when he spoke of the sword, people had these pictures alive and real in their mind. They were a picture of strength, but up to that point, they had been a picture of oppression. The people at this time, the church at this time, lived under an oppression. They lived in a pretended freedom, where it seemed as if, where they could act as if they were free. They could act as if they could do whatever they wanted. But the reality was there were soldiers, there were guards, there were laws that hung upon them and kept them from a true deliverance. As we look at our own lives, how often have we pretended to be free? How often have we pretended to be walking in truth? How often have we pretended to be righteous ourselves? Well, this picture is given, and this picture comes, and we are given this heavy portrait of the land. We are given this heavy portrait of the life that was there. And we see this picture of a man who is judged righteous, a man who is judged devout, a man who is judged faithful. And why? Why? We look here and see that he was looking forward to the coming of the Lord's Christ. That despite the oppression, despite the persecution, despite the sand, the dust, the heat, despite everything that was in his life, there was a hope for a rescue when he would look to the coming of the Lord's Christ. We look and see what is going to take place. We see that God answers the devout. How? With Christ. We see that God comes and he answers the shadows of the world. He answers the voids of the world. He answers the questions, the darkness. He answers even the sin of the world. And he answers your personal sin the same way with Christ. There is a freedom. There is a deliverance. There is a rescue for the world and for all of the nations and for you as individuals. The call for you this morning is for you to have your freedom. Have your freedom in Christ Jesus. Our first step is to remember the terrifying testimony. Remember the terrifying testimony. It almost feels out of place in the Gospel of Luke as Simeon makes his statement to Mary. There's been so much joy and rejoicing in the coming of the baby, John the Baptist. There was the leaping in the womb. There was the proclamation of the angels. There has been this time and this coming into the beautiful temple. But as Simeon speaks with Mary, I imagine this old face with big gray eyebrows narrowing and leaning into the mother and saying what no mother would ever want to hear, bringing such a terrible burden. He says, "Behold," in our scripture, but in our culture it would be, "Look. Look. This child has been appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed." He says, "Mother, and a sword will pierce even your own soul." The weight of that moment. Which mother here would bear it, even if it was just in the context of our church? If we said to a mother here, "Your child is appointed to throw down many people in our church and to raise up others. Your child will be appointed as a sign of oppression in our church. Your child is going to unveil the thoughts of hearts in this church." The weight and the burden that comes for a parent who longs to care for a child to hear that this is what is coming. The sword is coming even for your own soul, and your child will be hated. Hated. Why? Why? Why is this the reality? Why are these horrible and even cruel-sounding words spoken to a mother? It is because the guilt of the world is so extreme. It is because there is an infinite debt owed by the world, an infinite debt owed by you and me, a debt that you and I could not hope to pay off, a hope, a debt, a crime that can only be satisfied, an infinite debt that could only be satisfied by the infinite God. So you and I, we look and we see a world and we see these lives that are so distorted, even perverted. Do you see a world that's perverted around us? Do you see lives that are perverted around us? And in the midst of your life, you find a heart, your own heart, that is perverted and distorted. As we think of things that are distorted or twisted, things that cannot bear up. A strange thing happened in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. They were working on the Liberty Bridge and they had a stack of PVC pipe there that caught fire. And this PVC pipe burned so hot that it warped the giant pillars that held up the Liberty Bridge to where it wasn't even safe to travel on. Can you see our world being that warped? It's not even safe to trust. Can you see your own heart as that warped? It's not even safe to trust, being unstable and unreliable. This is where God meets us this morning. So our second step is look for the peace that is for God's children. That is, you and I cannot satisfy ourselves by thinking happy thoughts. You and I cannot satisfy ourselves or bring ourselves a true and lasting peace with our aimless distraction. You and I cannot rescue ourselves with our best thoughts or even our best day. In verse 25, we see this righteousness that is on Simeon. It says he's looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. This consolation, it's actually a noun that means a comforter or an encourager that's going to come in. It bears the idea of coming alongside. And in this context, coming alongside with a rescue. How has this come and why does he speak this? In verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This comfort that is coming is Christ. This consolation that is coming for Israel, that is, for God's people, is Christ Jesus. Christ comes and he moves in on the scene, and he comes and he's bringing a rescue. In verse 32, being described as a light of revelation to the Gentiles. A light of revelation. Think of revelation. The clearest translation of the word revelation is an unveiling. A pulling off and a revealing. A light that has been shown upon us as if a veil had been over our eyes that stopped us from seeing that we were in darkness, that we were oppressed, that this had been upon us. But God answered with a revealing. With a light, with a truth, no, with the truth, with the way, with the life that is for your heart. It is for your heart. It is the answer. It is the hope to the question of our souls. It is the answer to the shadows of our soul as he is revealed as the light. And for us alone as individuals, not just for you as individuals, but a light that shines to the Gentiles. And we'll say a light that shines to the nations, to the perverted world, to the perverted nation, the perverted community, to our perverted homes, to our perverted hearts. It is the light that shines and gives hope. Now, with us being in the place where we say, yes, yes, that is what I need. The world needs it. I need it. I need that answer. I need that hope. We move then from just having received the light to seeing this picture of this man who has received this truth and was looking forward to Christ. And this is our third step, to carefully cherish his commands. That is, to love what God has said, to love his word, to love the Bible, to love everything that he has given us. And we would like to say, I do. I do. We would like to say, I do love it. We would like to say, I do cherish it. But what does loving and cherishing look like? It looks like time, doesn't it? It looks like actual interest in what God is saying to me. Do you understand that this is the lover of your soul speaking to you? The one who is completely concerned about you, the one who has demonstrated his great affection for you in giving up his own life. It is our joy. Now, how does then Simeon, and how is he living this? Verse 25, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and we saw that his heart was looking forward to the Christ, but he's being described as righteous. Being described as a man who was striving to walk in loving obedience to what God has said. These are footsteps made into a way. It would be our footsteps from the moment we rise in the morning to walk in the ways of Christ, in the ways that we love our closest neighbors, the members of our own household, a love that is demonstrated, as it's pointed out in 1 Corinthians 13, a love that is patient, a love that is kind, a love that is keeping no record of wrong, a love that is true affection demonstrated for one another. This other word that's being used here, devout, the most literal translation of this word devout is cautious. Cautious. Some of us, as we have lived our lives, we can say that I haven't been cautious with other people. I haven't been cautious with their hearts. Leslie and I were in a setting, in a family setting, just after Nate was born, and we had him sitting on the ground, and a large family member came walking through the room and didn't look down and stepped right in front of Nate, then stepped right on the other side of Nate, and everyone gasped at that moment. And everyone assumed that he was kidding and said, "Don't do that." And he said, "Don't do what?" We realized our little baby was almost crushed by 300 pounds at that moment. Don't do what? Don't do what? We can simply walk through this world and not be concerned about the people around us. We can walk through this world and not be cautious. Why would we be cautious? Why would we be cautious in the ways that we love God? Why would we be cautious in the ways that we love one another? That this is a demonstration of our relationship with Christ Jesus. It is a demonstration of our great affection for Him. Or do you think that you have arrived? You think that you have arrived? Do you have it so ironed out now that you're pulling it off? Do you have it so ironed out now that you don't even think about it? We look at our lives, and some of us drive, and when you drive great distances, you learn to go in autopilot, don't you? You can go great, great distances and arrive at some place and think, how did I even get here? I don't even remember taking the exit. You can think, I don't remember putting the turn signal on a single time. I don't remember stopping at a single traffic light. We may deduce from that that I'm not even here. But as we look, do you think that your life, and you've got your steps so down, that you can go through life on autopilot now? That you can interact with people on autopilot and you won't be in offense? Do you imagine that you can interact with God and not be in offense? There is a caution to being devout. There is a careful study of His Word. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, "But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good." It's a difficult thing, examining everything carefully. And where would be the start? In your brother, little brother, or little sister? Hopefully not in your pastor. But where would we start? But with our own heart. Our own heart. To examine it quickly, to shine that light that was coming to the Gentiles into our hearts, to look and see, am I carefully cherishing His commands? And our next step is only be satisfied seeing salvation. That is, you can't be filled with anything else. You cannot come to another place where you think that you have arrived. other than that you are pursuing Christ Jesus. That you come to His Word daily to diligently read your Bible. You come to His Word daily and say, speak to me in your Word. Speak to me, Christ Jesus. We look and we see the posture in 28 and 30. Then He took him into His arms and He blessed God. You and I have the opportunity every day to come to the place where it is as if we are taking Christ Jesus into our arms. And we can rejoice so much in the love that we have been given, the love that has been shown into eternity, that we bless God in such a moment. We see in 1 Peter 1:10, as to this salvation, the salvation that you and I have received, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. They were looking to see who the Holy Spirit was talking about. You and I have that. What Isaiah longed for, you have it. What Jeremiah longed for, you have it. What Moses longed for, you have it. You have a word made more sure than what the prophets have been given. We have been given this great love. In 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the children of God. Hear that. Having had our distorted hearts, our perverted hearts, even now, now we are the children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. We look at Christ and see what we are to be made into. We look at Christ and we see the reality of loving the Father with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength. We look at Christ and see what it is like to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is laying down our lives for one another. It is that perfect love manifested. That perfect love that comes. That perfect light that shines. Our lives will be that. Our lives will shine. When we know ourselves to have been set free by Christ Jesus. When we are in His Word to spend time with Him. When we spend our lives speaking to Him. When we spend our lives in the godly fellowship and even encouraging one another on in love and in good deeds. You have a beautiful hope. You have a beautiful confidence. You have a beautiful peace that lasts forever. This morning, you found yourself under bondage. This morning, have you found the cords of sin wrapped around you? This morning, have you found yourself in the snare of the devil? This morning, make certain that you are trusting in Christ and His righteousness. This morning, make certain that you look and see that the great debt has been paid. This morning, commit yourself to loving Him. Commit yourself to loving His Word. And go forth and shine in your great freedom that has been given in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Our Lord, we thank You. Thank You. Thank You. That You have met with us. That You are God with us. We thank You for so great a love that is Your salvation that You hold fast, that will not be removed. We thank you for the great love that you have demonstrated in giving your one and only Son for our great rescue. We thank you for your beautiful word that is majestic and powerful and speaks to us in every single age. And we ask you this morning that you would work and that you would move in us this morning and every day until we see you face to face, that you will be glorified in the great love that you have shown us, that we have learned from, and the great love that we demonstrate to one another. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.